What's up, you savages? Let's get it going. Yes, Texas Roadhouse is yum. I love that username. I don't love the comment. It says, my Patriots beat your Bengals. Ha 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 ha. Yep, it's true. The Bengals are now 3-8. Continually find a way to lose. We touched on the spiritual aspect of things yesterday with the Cincinnati Bengals. The unique ability to find a way to lose. I'm sipping on my 12th man cup again that I got at Texas A&M this Saturday. Gay program they got over there. I hope Texas beats them. So the Patriots advanced to 9-2. There are many people out there that are, in fact, gay for May. I don't mind it. I don't mind being gay for May. You know, it seems like he's a guy worth being a little gay over. Not in that first quarter, first half against the Bengals. He struggled. But then they turn it back on. The Bengals refused to defend Hunter Henry and Austin Hooper over the middle of the field. The best team right now in the AFC has got to be the Indianapolis Colts. The Patriots are up there. Broncos are up there. You know, being gay for May, it's a real thing. You know, and you got Patriots fans in the comments on Drake May's girlfriend, wife, whatever her role is. You got Patriots fans in her comments asking her to make sure that he gets a rub down before bed, that she feeds him well. These Patriots fans are very concerned with their quarterback being taken care of, and that's something I can get behind. Was I expecting my Bengals to beat New England? I was not. Was I excited about the way the defense played? Yes, I was. They still pissed me off, right? But the run game was solid for Cincinnati. And the defense only allows 19 points. The Patriots scored 26. We give them a pick six right back. The playoff picture is very murky for Cincinnati, but we're going to get into that. I'm in the jar about that shit today, man. I'm in the jar about Bengals fans trying to create false hope on Twitter. I'm in the jar about it. Because I think I'm starting to bite on it a little bit. I think I'm starting to buy into the idea that Cincinnati could run the table and make the playoffs at 9-8. If the Bengals were to run the table, here's a scenario. This is from the So You're Saying There's a Chance department. Okay, I'm not saying that I believe that the Bengals will run the table, win the last six games. I'm not saying I believe that, but I'm saying if that were going to happen, here's what that might look like. Six wins in a row to round out the season. Joe Burrow is coming back. Will play on Thursday, Thanksgiving, against Baltimore. Ravens and Steelers, both. Okay, so let's just read this tweet. 9-8 very well could win the AFC North. Now, they're going to need help. Ravens and Steelers each at five losses. If Bengals win out, that's 9-8 and could do it for the division title. How do you say? Cincinnati winning out would therefore mean two losses for Baltimore because they play Baltimore twice in the next 6 weeks. So that's seven losses for Baltimore. Baltimore also plays Pittsburgh twice, at Green Bay, and versus New England. All tough games. Baltimore usually splits with Pittsburgh. So if that's, and again, that's a very hopeful outlook. None of us can say whether Baltimore's going to split with Pittsburgh. They could sweep Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh could sweep them. It's the AFC North. So if that's the case, and Cincinnati wins out with Burrow back, that means Baltimore will at least have 8 losses as well. So how do the Steelers get to 8 losses? They need 3 more. Split with Baltimore, and then losses versus Buffalo and at Detroit. That's 8 losses. If Cincinnati wins out and the above happens, Cincinnati, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh all finish 9-8, and the Bengals would win the division by virtue of a 5-1 division record. Burrow's got to put on the Superman cape and go 6-0. Is this likely to happen? Not at all. But until the math says no, a lot of Bengals fans have faith in Joe Burrow, notwithstanding the serious defensive issues. And if you really want to be an optimist as a Bengals fan, we can look at this Patriots-Bengals game from Sunday and objectively say that that was the best this defense has played all year. I know the defensive coordinator over there, Al Golden, touched on the fact that he thought that this was the best tackling performance by these Bengals. I'm not buying it. I think this team finds a way to lose in any scenario. I don't know if it's a coaching problem. I don't know if it's a culture problem. I don't know if it's an ownership problem. And it very well could be all three. But when you have a player like Burrow back, it's really hard. The guy's 7-0 in his last 7 starts. He went to the press today, and he talked about it, and he said, if you're in my position as a football player and you're healthy and you have the ability to play football, why would you not play football? And a lot of Bengals fans are encouraged by those words. This is the kind of guy that you want at the helm of your franchise. This is what you want to hear from your franchise quarterback. And I don't disagree. I don't disagree at all. Same discussion going on with Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels asked whether he would consider shutting down for the year. And he, too, says no. So, look, I think we are in for one of the most interesting back stretches in the history of the NFL, with as much parity as you've got in the league, with as much uncertainty as you've got in the AFC, let alone the AFC North. You've got the Rams, in my opinion, by far the best team in the NFC. The NFC is a bit more competitive this year. Watching the Rams on Sunday night beat Tampa the way they beat Tampa. Tampa's slumping bad. They've dropped 3 in a row. I know they've been stricken by injuries. But let me tell you, man, the AFC is a completely different story. And I'm scrolling through my likes here. I did not create an outline for today's show. So we are going completely off Twitter and completely off the dome with our discussion today. I know we're going to talk about Lane Kiffin. I'm a bit in the jar about Lane Kiffin, all the hoopla that comes with Lane Kiffin, but it's inevitably going to come with Lane Kiffin. And I think what they've done over there at Ole Miss proves that all the hoopla is worth it. I wish I had a producer, man. You guys got to subscribe to the channel. Go ahead and hit that sub button. A lot of y'all watching, a lot of fans of the show, you might not be subbed, and you might think you are, but you're not. Hit that subscribe button. We're trying to drive that number up so that we could create some revenue on this channel so that I can hire a producer to put Joe Burrow's pretty face on the bottom half of this screen, because today I won't be. I want to because we got things he said in the presser, and here's a quote from him. At the end of the day, players have to take some accountability and go play really good. This is in response to a question he got about decisions the coaching staff has made, schematic issues, and Joe Burrow said it well. He said, look, it's the coach's job to put you in the right position to make the play. But at the end of the day, as the player, getting in the right position to make the play is only so much you have to execute as a player. And when you don't execute, when you don't make plays, you have to take accountability. This is what you want to hear from your leader. We got Jacob in the chat. The Bears, 8-3. Time to give the Eagles that belt. Sirianni defending Petullo's play calls. Franklin to the Hokies. Shout out to my man Spencer. Shout out to my man Jacob. Sirianni. Look, the Eagles, I don't know what to think about the Eagles, man. I know it was fun to hate on the Eagles early on in the year because they seem like the new rendition of the Chiefs, right? The dominant team that everybody likes to hate on. You add in the tush-push stuff. You add in their offensive linemen false starting pretty much every single tush-push they run and it not getting called. A number of favorable calls. Detroit had a chance to win in that game 2 weekends ago, and they call a bullshit pass interference call at the end of the game on Rock Ya-Sin, former Colt, that gives them the win against Detroit, gives Philadelphia the win against Detroit. I thought their Eagles defense, they played great that game. N'Kobe Dean, one of the great linebackers in the game today. You watch his film. You watch the way he does his job. N'Kobe Dean, the Georgia Bulldog. We spoke highly of the Georgia Bulldogs yesterday, talking about their Tuesday practices. Here's a common theme, folks, and I'm probably going to talk about this until the end of time. Here's a common theme in successful college football programs. It's Tuesday practices. We talked about this yesterday. I'm going to talk about it again. Ryan Day running the ship over there at Ohio State, highly successful. They batter their guys on Tuesday. Urban Meyer talked about this. He battered his guys, his teams, those 07, 08 Florida teams on Tuesdays. He would walk into the locker room, and if players were not laying on the ground by their locker, exhausted, then Urban Meyer said he didn't practice them hard enough. Over at Georgia, over there in Athens, they call Tuesday Bloody Tuesdays. And N'Kobe Dean, a clear product of Bloody Tuesdays, 1 hour of inside drill every Tuesday, crunching heads. And you see N'Kobe Dean, that kind of stuff translates over to the pros, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if you guys knew this, but when you bang in practice, you're going to bang in the game. When you're put in high-pressure situations in practice, you're going to excel in high-pressure situations in the game. N'Kobe Dean, Eagles inside linebacker, a great representation of that. Now, they dropped the game to the Cowboys. I have not yet watched that game. I don't have any business weighing in on the narrative of maybe of that game, of how that game went. I just know the Cowboys won. And the Cowboys, look, they got a little bit of life. They got George Pickens over there, NFL young boy, altering the culture over there. I want a player like George Pickens on my team. I want a guy that's a little cracked out, guys. There's something to be said for an AB or a George Pickens or a Vontaze Burfict, the guy that's slightly cracked, but he brings juice to the room. He brings juice on the field. I see George Pickens at it constantly, of him just yapping, getting in these guys' face, making plays. Swaggy dude. And then obviously, James Franklin of Virginia Tech. I saw him down there on the sideline during their game this Saturday. Like I said, I was in College Station, Texas, cheering on my Samford Bulldogs, my alma mater, my 1-11 Samford Bulldogs against the 11-0 Texas A&M Aggies. Did not go well for us, so I did not get my full college football slate on Saturday as I would like to have. But James Franklin, look, a bit of a demotion for him. I don't want to shit on Virginia Tech. It's not a bad program. They got Enter Sandman over there, you know. But James Franklin kind of taking a step back in terms of the caliber of his job position going from Penn State to Virginia Tech. But nonetheless, I'm sure he'll do great things at that program.
it's hard at a place like Penn State. Those folks, they don't have, there's a couple programs that don't have the patience. I'm not saying Penn State's not patient. He had a lot of great wins there, a lot of great progress in the program, but the expectations ended up killing a lot of head coaches in this carousel. Yeah, Samford, we got the belt, man. We are not a good team. My old ball coach, Chris Hatcher, one of the more impactful humans in my life, got let go 3 weeks ago, and Samford let everyone who was associated with Coach Hatch go, and it was very sad. It pissed me off a little bit, especially watching this team. They had no fight. This is a situation, like, when you're Samford and you're clearly not as good of a team as the Aggies, you want a George Pickens out there. I don't give a shit if it's sometimes 15 yards is a worthwhile price to pay to get your boys juiced again. You got to grab a face mask. You got to talk a little shit. You got to shove a guy after a play and try and just get something going. Show a little bit of fight. You can tell which programs in college football run inside drill for an hour on Tuesdays and which ones don't. An inside drill is just run game, guys. Inside drill is offensive line, defensive line, quarterback, running back, linebackers, and maybe one slot receiver in tight with a DB. And you just, it's all run concepts. It's all run fits. And you stand and you bang for an hour on Tuesdays. Bloody Tuesdays. I'm going to be talking about Bloody Tuesdays probably every episode for the entirety of this show, and this show will go on forever. So we're going to talk about Bloody Tuesdays forever. That inside drill is what made me a man. That's where you got to prove yourself, man. Can you get in and be physical? Can you stick your nose in the gap and be fearless? Guys like N'Kobe Dean, they play. So Joe Burrow was having his little press conference. Here's more stuff he said about playing. I understand why, but look at in terms of shutting him down. Joe Burrow understands why, but look at it from my perspective. I'm a football player. I'm not going to live my life scared. So he spoke at length. Again, I'm not going to show it on the screen today. If you guys want to go check it out, get on Twitter, type it in, do your deal. Joe Burrow spoke at length on anyone who says why he shouldn't play with the team currently at 3-8. So regardless of how you cut it, man, still technically hope for the Cincinnati Bengals, 1% chance to make the playoffs. They got the Ravens coming up here on Thanksgiving. If you guys are watching, fans of the show, I know Jacob's probably still in here. Maybe Spencer's still in here. Holler in the chat what time you guys would like to see the show go live on Thanksgiving, because we will be here to do the show on Thanksgiving. I'm also trying to set up getting close. I want to do reaction streams while the games are live. And so right now I'm working on a score bug to put on the screen. I've got one in. It's just a matter of getting it updated with the right teams, be able to tweak the score so you guys can pop in here if you want. Follow the game if you're not watching it. I will be on the call. I will try to call these games for you live. And so you can either watch the game on mute and listen to my call of it, or if you're not watching the game at all, you can follow the game on stream. We are doing our best to work with the AI to get the code right in the streaming. Streamlabs is my OBS. I used to go live and getting that in there so that you guys can follow the games with us. I think that'd be a great added feature to this channel. So anyways, I saw on Instagram today that Lane Kiffin was announced as an instructor at a yoga studio in Greenwood, Mississippi. This is everything I need to be able to say that Lane Kiffin is not leaving Ole Miss. I'm telling you guys, you heard it here first. I want you guys to come back to the chat on future shows and type in how I was right about Lane Kiffin, because he's not leaving. Now, if Ole Miss has not offered Lane a contract at least similar, if not equal to, the amounts of money that LSU and Florida has offered him, then Lane Kiffin not returning to Oxford is on the Ole Miss executive committee, the AD, Keith Carter. That's on them. But I think he's built a life there in Oxford. I've said this ad nauseum on the show. It continues to be day in and day out. Maybe the biggest, not just the biggest story, definitely the biggest story in college football, but maybe the biggest story in football in general right now is this Lane Kiffin saga about where he's going to go. And I feel for Ole Miss fans, dude. I feel for him because you got a historic season with the program going on right now, and it's completely overshadowed by the fact that Lane is potentially leaving. You had Ole Miss quarterback Trinidad Chambliss tweet his thoughts on that. Let's pull that up real quick. To our fans, this team is completely locked in, living in the moment, and staying true to our 1-0 mindset for the Egg Bowl and future games. We are unbothered by anything about next year and fully trusting Coach Kiffin's leadership to keep us moving toward our goals. Now let's take a look at what the Ole Miss fans are saying in the comments. Having to say you're locked in means you're probably not locked in. Fair point. At least six is being the responsible one around the building. Ole Miss fans are pissed, guys. I know a few that I've talked to about all this. They are pissed at Lane. And I asked my buddy, I said, look, do you think this would affect Lane's decision to come back to Oxford knowing that he's pissed all of these Ole Miss fans off? My buddy says, yes, I disagree with that. I think that they will forget about this all, depending on how they perform in the college football playoff. Man, if they have a home game in Oxford for the college football playoff and it's against a program like, you know, that's not SMU, dude, I might think about heading down to Oxford for that game. That'd be my second game in Oxford this year. The LSU game that I went to back when LSU was still top five was magnificent. I love my time in Oxford. I want to get a home in Oxford. So guess what? If you're watching this show and you're not subscribed, hit that subscribe button. It costs you nothing, and it might give me a chance to buy a house in Oxford, Mississippi one day. Okay, more in the thread here for Trinidad. Easy to say when these are Ole Miss fans. Easy to say after you're when you're done after this year. So are you saying the rumor that players aren't even talking to Kiffin aren't true? Wow. People are pissed, man. These Ole Miss fans are pissed. They got the Egg Bowl coming up. There's speculation on when this announcement is going to come. I've heard that Lane is going to hold a press conference. I would guess after the game, announcing whether he's going to come back or not. Guys, Lane's going back. There's nothing he can't do in Oxford that he could do somewhere else. And that hasn't always been the case, guys. If you looked at this situation 5 years ago, even, I'd say LSU or Florida is a much better opportunity than Ole Miss. There's things you could do at LSU and Florida that you can't do at Ole Miss. This is 5 years ago, but today, current day, everything you can do in Oxford, you can do in Baton Rouge. Everything you can do in Baton Rouge and Gainesville, you can do in Oxford, guys. That's my take on it. What else? I've been hearing a lot of stuff about Bill Belichick and his girlfriend. Apparently, Bill Belichick had his daughter-in-law, so his son Steve's wife, came into Bill Belichick's office and was screaming, cussing at him for 45 minutes, telling him that Jordan Hudson is batshit crazy. why the fuck are you doing this? What? This is insane. You're one of the greatest coaches of all time, and you're letting a 24-year-old woman derail all of it. I mean, we haven't covered much of this on the show because it feels more like gossip than anything else, but it is fun to touch on. Like I said, I don't have an outline today. I'm going off the dome and off Twitter, and we are going to – it is going to be another – 30-35 minute episode today, you guys. I've started late yesterday and today, started late, and I leave for jujitsu around 5:10 in here in Arizona. What else, guys? What else? We talked about Shedeur Sanders, we talked about Joe Burrow. Need my goddamn outline, boys. There's reports that Arkansas has got a new head coach. Here's a picture of Trump, AI picture of Trump smoking on Twitter. Here's another Ole Miss player. Diego Pounds said this. Looks like an offensive tackle for Ole Miss. Quote tweeted Trinidad Chambliss says, I agree. I respect coach's decision, and regardless what he decides, that's our coach, and we are finishing this thing with him, period. It's our team, our coach. Hashtag spot the ball. That's pretty cool. You see players supporting head coaches regardless. Like, these guys know. Like, this is part of why Ole Miss has a winning culture. These guys know that whatever decision Coach Kiffin makes, it's going to be the right decision for him. They love each other. They support each other. That's part of being on a great team, and they're going to support him regardless of what decision he makes. Interesting. Yeah, it's hard to pull shit together without an outline, guys, but good thing we're 120 episodes into this thing, so we can kind of roll with it. You know what I'm saying? But I might let you guys go here soon. I seem to be sputtering right now. I'll tell you this, guys. I passed out for the first time during jiu-jitsu. I got put to sleep for the first time last night during jiu-jitsu, and it wasn't even a live round. It was drilling. And my drilling partner, he's a good friend. He's a big, beefy Peruvian brick shithouse. About my weight, 220, something like that. And we were drilling half guard shoulder pressure. So the guy on top in half guard, I wish I could show you guys a picture because I know it's hard for non-MMA people maybe to understand that terminology. Half guard, you're on top, and we were drilling, digging that shoulder in to the guy's face, obviously being as nice as we can be at drilling speed. But my partner is such a shithouse, is such a big, powerful guy, that we're drilling this thing. Our coach is coaching us up, and so he's trying to make sure he does it the right way. And I felt like I could not breathe, but I wanted him to get the move done to completion, and frankly, I didn't want to look like a pussy not letting him finish the rep before it's done. I'm already feeling like, hey, I don't got any freaking oxygen, but I need to let my guy finish this move. I will let him continue. And our coach Tim said, you feel that? Or he was showing... he was showing a tweak on, you know, you put your head, when you put your head to the mat on the side of the guy's arm while you're digging your shoulder in there, that makes much more pressure. And I remember hearing, you feel that, right, Clark? And I tried to say yes, and I couldn't. And the next thing I know, I'm on my back getting my chest rubbed. Coach Timbo looks at me, he's like, you okay? You okay? And I thought I fucked up. I thought I did something wrong. I thought that that maybe I'd gotten too stoned before practice. I was very disoriented. It was a feeling I can't really describe. you think about venturing into the subconscious mind. I definitely went there. I definitely went to go talk with God for a second. I really feel like I did. It's this ethereal feeling, guys, when you get put to sleep at jiu-jitsu practice. It happened to me for the first time last night, and it was during a drill. Just absolute cinema going on right now in our life. We're going to sleep at jiu-jitsu. We got a lot of things going on right now, man. The show, obviously, I'm just freaking talking at this point. I don't have an outline. And I continue to complain about that, but we continue to try and carry this thing. So yeah, it might be a little spacey. I don't know what the long-term effects are of passing out due to lack of oxygen. It's a first-time thing for me dealing with this. I'm fine. I'm just talking shit. You know what I mean? Some good food in you. Stretch in the morning. Make sure you get the heart pumping, the blood flowing, all that stuff. Somebody on Twitter, we'll round the show out with this. Somebody on Twitter tweeted today, and they said, "People who never get sick, what are your secrets?" And I wish I'd saved the tweet. I would have responded and tweeted this out. So my thing is I'll just share it on the show here, maybe add some value for you guys. So I barely even get sick one time a year, and that's a new thing. That's hasn't been the case for most of my life, but the last 3-4 years, I really only get sick like once a year, maybe less than once a year. Daily cold plunges, obviously exercise, obviously diet, breath work, meditation, reading. And I know you guys are like, what the hell, how the hell does reading, what does that have to do with getting sick? But your mind, your body, and your spirit, they're all connected. And so if you're training your mind, you are subsequently training your body. When you're training your body, you're subsequently training your mind. When you're training those two things, you're subsequently training your spirit. Writing is good for the mind, good for the spirit. Meditation, good for the mind, good for the spirit. Subsequently, going to change the biochemistry and the rhythms within your body when you do those things. Cold plunge is very obvious. You're getting fresh blood circulating everywhere. So when you get in the cold water, when you get in 40-degree water, your body goes into fight or flight. It immediately begins to send blood to your internal organs. And then when you get back out, and let me not just graze over that. The reason your body, it's pretty obvious why the body would send blood to your internal organs when it feels like it might die. So all that blood's going inward. It's leaving your arms, it's leaving your legs, and it's going to places like your intestines, your heart, your liver, maybe your brain. And then when you get back out of that cold plunge, what happens is your body has to work to recirculate that blood back out to your limbs, back out. So it's going up and in. It's like a drainage system almost. The blood's going up into your internal organs when you get into cold water. And then when you get out of the cold water, it's redistributing. And everywhere you look in the body's redistributing fresh, oxygen-rich blood. There's many other factors around this. I'm not sure if I could put myself on a spot and remember each one of them, but there's something to do with white blood cells in the mix. There's something to do with brown fat, which is different than white fat that comes into the mix. What's it called? Thermogenesis. That's when you create more brown fat, but I digress. I'm talking about not getting sick. Okay. Diet is a huge thing. You got to have clean ingredients. You got to be on the lookout for microplastics literally every single place you look. So, for example, I got a shorts ad on YouTube the other day that was talking about when you use a regular toothbrush, this plastic nylon in the bristles disperses into your gums and then gets absorbed in your bloodstream, these tiny little plastics. I just learned this, and I've been on this shit for a long time, 4 or 5 years now. And so you got to get some bamboo toothbrush. You got to get some hogs some boar hair bristles. Got to be on the lookout for microplastics. And a lot of people think like, oh, this is militant. This is not shit I could do. Because they look at all the habits and they say, I can't do all of that at once. And they're goddamn right. You got to start with one habit, change one little thing, and then accumulate momentum until you got the full thing humming. It takes patience. It's taken me 4 or 5 years to build the regimen, the diet, the routines that I have in place that nowadays feel effortless. I finally feel like I'm coming into my own with these routines, with these regimens. It's stretching too, man. Stretching has been absolutely game changing. Pliability routine. I'll put you guys on game. If you want to start a stretching routine, download the Pliability app. Pliability. Think about Tom Brady. There's an app. It's called Pliability, and it creates customized. This is not an ad. I'd love for them to sponsor me, but it creates customized stretching plans for you on a daily basis. And so those are the things. Hard training. You know, take care of spirit. Take care of the mind. Get out in the woods. Play some golf. Meditation. Writing. Stretching, training hard, working out first thing when you wake up. And when I say working out, you don't have to go balls to the wall. I got myself an assault bike in the garage that I spent $400 on Facebook Marketplace. And first thing every morning, I just jump on that guy for 10 minutes. It's not balls to the wall, destroy yourself all out work. It's just 10 minutes. Get the blood pumping. To start the day, electrolytes are a big deal. Protein's a big deal, but you got to get all these nutrients from clean sources. Even these electrolyte packets you'll see on the back of the label that say natural flavors. And what natural flavors is a nice guise, courtesy of the FDA, that can mean a lot of things. And a lot of times the natural flavors are unsavory or unnatural ingredients that just fall under this guise that makes you think it's natural. Learned that a long time ago. So clean ingredients. That's just my rant. I was kind of in the jar about that. We kind of ran out of football stuff to talk about. I know there's football stuff out there to talk about. I just did not pull together the outline today. I feel like we're good enough at this now that we can carry a show without our outline, and lo and behold, we're 38 minutes in. I got to run to jujitsu here in about 3 minutes, hopefully get put to sleep again for the second night in a row. No, I would not want that to happen. It was an interesting experience. I would not want to continue to be put to sleep, but if I had to, in order to train, I would. It taught me a lot, too. I'm sure I'll continue to unpack insights from it. But I was just thinking this morning, I was like, damn. I was just feeling myself breathe. I was like, what a blessing it is, guys, to be able to take in oxygen, to be able to breathe. I'm going to leave you guys with that. This has been a decent show. Got to run, guys. Got to run to training. I'm not quite sure what fit I'm going to wear yet. So I got to figure that out. I got to hit the road. Maybe hit a little smoky smoke. Maybe hit a little tokey toke. Maybe hit a little pokey poke. You know what I'm saying? So appreciate you guys watching. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Sorry for the shorter show. Just getting started late these days. Better late than never is what they say, though. If you're watching this and you're not subscribed yet, please do so. Please. Please. I'm trying to hire producers, man. I'm trying to make this the best it can be. And we're never going to stop showing up. So you're going to see us on your feed regardless. You might as well get it out of the way. It doesn't cost you anything. I'm not going to jump through that screen and put you to sleep or bite you. None of that. It doesn't cost you anything. You ain't going to get no emails, nothing. It's the only thing I ask you for. Hit that subscribe button. Bare minimum, hit the like button. And if you don't, do either. Don't let me be the one to tell you. Don't let the dough hit your ass on the way out now. This is In the Jar. We'll We'll get into all this stuff. One of my buddies told me, he said, you got to explain to people what in the jar means. It's a long story. I've explained on the show before, but to anyone new on the show, we're going to start using that verbiage a lot more. In the jar, pretty much, I want to rant. I'm jarred up. I'm pissed off. And there's a bigger point to that. But anyways, I kind of just forced that. It's okay. All right. Kind of got myself in a jar right there. All right. Love you guys. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Could hop on a Madden stream tonight. It's not out of the question. Look out for all of that. You've got Madden streams on this channel. You got this show Monday through Friday live. You can check us out on Spotify. I got to update that motherfucker. So, but we are on audio platforms, typically updated daily. All replays also live on YouTube, live on Kick, live on Twitch. I'm trying to figure out TikTok because they are liberal. All right. Love you guys. We'll holler at you tomorrow.
Don't do that.
We're going to go here. Golly. I've been getting close to doing something that, yeah, anyways. I shouldn't. I'm going to shut up.
Thank you. All right.